catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Can't. There was so many things to talk about.
That's how these things work.
Yeah. Oh. I would actually think this one was one of the more well-built shows thematically. Like how the stories blended in and how they all kind of lead to November 12th was something that I thought this show did better than some of the other shows in Sun Studios.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just, that's also where it was placed. You know, it's because it's in between. Like that's the way that that's the purpose that it serves in a lot of ways. So,
and I think, that's absolutely a good point because sometimes, you know, you're not necessarily building to the next show as much as you are just kind of accomplishing it. And then you have kind of the aftermath, but this one being strategically placed like that makes it so that it really does provide a stronger tie-in to November, which I really like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. So, but we can talk about it on the podcast.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
7 6 5 4 3 2 1 And welcome to another edition of the hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host, the Twitterless heroine herself, ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants herself, the most professional podcaster, the pop punk princess, and most importantly, the queen of soft style, Miranda Morales, here, your host once again, for another episode of the hashtag Miranda Show, which is a of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find on thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, the hashtag Miranda Show is proud part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can find at thechairshot.com, as well as
thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
In the immortal words of Mr. Fuji, sometimes best rib, no rib at all.
So wise. So wise. But he ate someone's dog, right?
That's racist.
I thought that was the thing. I thought you actually did do that.
You might have. I don't know. It's not racist. Miranda loves dogs and Asians.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yes. Those are very
money plan.
Very true. But I was also going to say that you can find us on your favorite podcasting streaming platform like iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review so that way you get notified every time a new episode of the hashtag Miranda Show drops, as well as other shows from the Chairshot Radio Network. The voice that you heard, well, you know who it is. He is the co-host, the producer. He is the kingpin of thechairshot.com. the king of shit takes, and if you didn't also know, he's a wrestling promoter, the Reverend Greg DeMarco.
Fucking nerd.
Could I also be ring announcer to the mid-card or something like that? Like,
yes, ring announcer to the mid-card.
One-timer.
The one-timer. The day one. Ish. Only one. We're going to get to that in a little bit because there is a story behind it. Just like everything, that there's always a story. Inside.
Sometimes you don't know the story. Joke. Sometimes the story doesn't get told, but there's usually a story.
Yeah, that's true. But on this week's episode, we are going to be reviewing what happened at IZW Impact Zone Wrestling Cool Town Clash 2 that was held at the Coolidge Youth Center in Coolidge, Arizona this past Saturday, September 24th, presented by 3D Sports Cards and Collectibles. An amazing time in Coolidge. What a wonderful crowd. And if you missed it, well, shame on you, but you're in luck because we are going to be recapping all of the matches and key moments that happened during Cool Town Clash 2 as we are on the road to Wanted Dead or Alive Saturday, November 12th in Glendale, Arizona, at the Horny Toad. We already talked about it a few weeks ago, but it's going to be a huge night for IZW. We are going to be crowning another brand new champion in IZW. Your still IZW Women's World Champion, Bryn Thorne, will be defending her title there. Spoiler alert of what I'll be talking about next. And of course, being headlined by the Regulators, the team of IZW World Heavyweight Champions, Magnificent, The Shade, and EJ Sparks versus the team of Final Destination, Charles Casas, Evan Daniels, and Bryce Saturn in a steel cage match. So much to get into, though. Before that, we're going to be talking about Cool Town Clash 2 coming up very shortly. Greg, really, before we get into the meat of all this, tell us a bit more about IZW's return to Coolidge, second time this year, which was something that almost, you know, I know you weren't sure if that was actually going to happen so soon, but, you know, the stars aligned and IZW was able to make our return back to Coolidge this year and, you know, be in front of really an amazing, lively, like, just, I mean, it's hard to even describe like how enthralled they were by everything. And again, this is not, you know, we had some of our IZW regulars there, but also just a lot of community members from the city of Coolidge there. I mean, tell us a little bit about kind of coming back to Coolidge and the outpouring of support that you've got, not only from the fans in attendance, but the community.
We had a lot of, I mean, we had school board support this time. We had a lot of different support and support and sponsorships and so much go so far in an event like this one, especially because you just never know what's going to happen in terms of, you know, crowd size and things like that, because it's a small community and it can be a struggle at times. And a lot went on in that community, which, you know, just literally whatever week that kind of community has can affect who's able to come to the event that day. The boxing gym that we work with, Robles Boxing and Fitness, has been through a ton since the first Cool Town Clash event in April, with their owner and founder, Randy Robles, going through tons of medical issues, which of course was, you know, his fight and inspiration was celebrated as part of Cool Town Clash 2. The community had been through a ton of things with some, negative events that took place in the community. This isn't even, I don't know if you know about this, there was a shooting in Coolidge that night, a block away from the event.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I found out the next day. As we're leaving, there were cop cars everywhere flying by. We didn't know why. And I found out the next day there was a shooting a block away from the venue. This is the kind of community that needs events like this and just doesn't have them. And there's been, you know, unemployment's up a little bit in the area. So there's just a lot of things and a lot of factors that come into play. And we're looking at a few different things for the future with the community and the community and the local government and all that are very big on us continuing to come out and provide these events and may become a bigger part of them in the future. Like there's a lot. So yes, going back twice a year, still the plan. And it just means a ton to go out to a community like that. And it's to me, it's like, okay, you know, if we can, if each like wrestling group, we continue to run your normal events in your normal places, but then like pick the community to sort of adopt as their own and invest in and work with. Like, I think that could go a long way for the state itself. You know, there's, you know, 5 or 6 promotions that run regularly that could do it. It's, you're at that point, you're doing those events for different reasons. And that means a lot. But I do think that if people continue to do stuff like that could go a long way just in shaping the state as a whole and impacting those small communities. You know, if you want to run the successful shows, you run them in bigger places, right? And that's just what you do. You go where the people are. But then there's the other fact of it. There's that giving back aspect of it. And Cool It for us made sense for 2 reasons, because that's where the Navajo Warrior started his career 32 years ago and had his first match. That's also where Navajo Warrior and Morgan, where their daughter goes and trains boxing and all that, and that'll come up later. But there's reasons why that's the one that we're with. But if everybody had one, and I'm sure in every promotion there's a connection to some small city in Arizona, right? I know there is. And you know, with Slam U is going to Winslow, like there's just things like that that just make sense. But if everybody did it, I think it just continues to make not the world a better place, but our portion of the world a better place. And so that's what it's about. And you can do things on the business end to be smart and make the business end work, which is what we've done with the events like we do in Coolidge. So regardless of how the things look that night, it still works from a financial sense. That's a big part of it as well. But events like that are just so important and they will always be important to what we do in pro wrestling.
Oh, and I've shared a few stories about growing up in a small town myself in Yuma, Arizona, and what it's like to grow up in a small town where you don't have a whole lot going on and how community events really bring people together and allow for families and kids and teens to just have a place for a few hours to get away from it all and to come together. And, you know, I know that there was such a great crowd there, and some of their reactions to things are some of the best that I can even recall in recent history, you know? So I, from someone who has that perspective growing up in a small town, but also seeing how integral IZW has become in the Coolidge community is awesome. And I love that idea of, you know, adopt a small town where a wrestling promotion just kind of takes on a small Arizona town and makes it their own, you know, and, or, you know, runs things there just because it's exactly that. It's a way here in Arizona to, you know, connect with audiences who may not really get the opportunity to come to bigger cities. But also it really brings it back to the basics of wrestling is about having this, you know, authentic reaction and connection with a crowd. And you don't get any more authentic than when you come to a place you're not at very often.
Exactly. That it just makes all the difference in the world. And just to see that and to know what those people go through, like you also appreciate what you have yourself. Like I live in this beautiful neighborhood that, you know, people make fun of all the time. Like even the last time we were in Coolidge, I still remember, you know, Charlie being like, well, Greg lives in this neighborhood. Like it's, you just realize how lucky you are and fortunate you are. And I was talking about this backstage before the event, with Navajo Warrior, and we talked about how, you know, like there are people in the world and in life who are literally dealt a shitty hand. And it's like, what do you do? And what do you, you know, and there's, and we're as motivated, driven people, we're like, go do this, go do that, whatever. But like, they don't even know that. And when they hear that, it doesn't even register because of the life they've lived. And so it needs to be just more than that. You got to go and you got to do something. And that's what these events are about. And, Yeah, I just think there should be more of that that takes place. I didn't plan on even coming up with that idea. It just kind of came up as I was talking about it. But like, that's what, you know, we're lucky to get to put on wrestling events. We're lucky to get to promote mm-hmm. events. We're lucky that they're profitable. We're lucky that they work from a business perspective, that the talent's so invested, that the fans are so invested. We need to give back. You know, they always say the business owes you nothing, and that's the truth. But like, because we're so lucky on this one side, we got to give back on another side. And to mm-hmm. me, that's what these have become about. And that's why we're going to continue to do them no matter what. So,
yeah. I know you are all anxiously waiting for us to review and give you the results for ICW Cool Town Clash. However, before we get to do that, Greg, you know what time it is?
I do. But tell me anyway.
Greg, it's time for you to wind it up.
It's time!
It is indeed time for you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own IZW and Chairshot t-shirt today. When you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, you are going to find a variety of t-shirts supporting IZW Impact Zone Wrestling and thechairshot.com. That includes the IZW Pride logo, the IZW Arizona's Best shirt, the IZW New World Order, and the new logo. So many cool IZW shirts, along with various chairshot.com t-shirts, like multiple Always Use Your Head shirts, the OG Chairshot logo, Chairshot Worldwide, the Everybody Hates Greg shirt, and the Queen of Soft Style shirt, all in one conveniently located place of prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. T-shirts start off at $19.99, but hey, you can just spend a few extra dollars and customize your t-shirt to get any of these t-shirts in soft style. So go ahead and treat yourself. Get yourself a IZW and Chairshot t-shirts today. You can go and rep IZW at IZW with your t-shirt. You can also rep thechairshot.com wherever you go. So go ahead and support both great entities by getting your t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Games of War Games. War Games. War Games.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we start off Cool Town Clash with a tag team match. This was announced, and you have on one side a very established tag team, and on the other side a makeshift tag team with two competitors that was not sure how well they were going to get along, because they're going to be facing each other at Wanted Dead or Alive on November 12th. We had the team of Dallas King and the Megabit Warrior MBW versus Jacob Austin Young and Graves. Now, if you remember what happened at Psycho Circus with Jacob Austin Young defeating Charles Casas, giving him his first loss, really using that as a big wave of momentum for himself, and Graves being undefeated in IZW when they both faced each other earlier this year, went to a time limit draw. Jacob Austin Young challenged Graves to another one-on-one match at Wanted Dead or Alive. But before they did that, they had to team up and face Dallas King and MBW, who have been competing in IZW know, for well over a year. Both are prospects and trainees of the Arizona Pro Wrestling Training Center. So they're very familiar, especially with the talent of Graves. But also, you know, they are such a really core team that have grown up together and have trained together. So that, even though both Jacob Austin Young and Graves had much more of the experience on their side, Dallas King and MVW had more of the cohesion on their side, and they actually even like each other more than Jacob Austin Young and Graves. However, both Jacob Austin Young and Graves are incredibly talented. I mean, Jacob Austin Young is one of the most talented wrestlers in all of the West Coast. So extremely smart and calm and level-headed. And we talked about that when we reviewed Psycho Circus. And Graves is insane. And his pure aggression will take him anywhere. And those two combined ended up getting just what they needed in order to get the win. With Graves making MVW tap out via submission, where there was some kind of uneasiness a little bit throughout the match between Jacob Austin Young and Graves, but they were able to make it work and get the win.
And the thing about those two is they're competitive. They are competitors, and their rivalry is one of a competitive nature. Nobody's attacked anybody. Nobody has screwed anybody over, nothing like that. Like, they are competitive, and Graves has beaten everybody that's been put in his way in IZW except Jacob Austin Young. They wrestled to a time limit draw the first time in Coolidge. And for Graves, he wants to erase that and get the win over Jacob Austin Young. For Jacob Austin Young, he, because he's the only person to even take Graves to a draw, he believes he can beat him. And of course, after beating Charles Cassius, who had been previously unbeaten, he's got even that, like you said, more momentum, more confidence. So it all builds towards November 12th, but for them to go out there, I didn't expect them to implode because of the fact that they're competitors and they wanted to really one up each other and prove, you know, who could be the dominant one. And that's what they're going to do. And that's where they're at now. And now they're ready for November 12th, where we'll see. We'll see if Jacob Austin Young can do it.
Again, like you said, I think that the winning to them is both of them are important. So they weren't going to implode to, you know, somehow let this win escape them. Because again, they have the experience and the skill on all levels to beat Dallas King and MBW. The one thing that was a little bit more fragile was their teamwork, but they were able to put those differences aside long enough to get the win. However, you know, now that this is over, all's fair in love and war between them two. So I am highly interested to see, you know, how this will continue to build up into November 12th, and specifically how this match will go, because it truly is one where, you know, the winner, not take all, because there's, you know, not necessarily anything in stake other than this streak. But I do think that because they've gone to a time limit draw, it is one where winning will mean a lot for whoever comes through. So that is, to me, is the very interesting thing between them, these two gentlemen, and the match that they have coming up on November 12th.
There's a belief that I have about wrestling that some will disagree with. And if they do, I don't care, because you're wrong and I'm right. But I've often said, I've maintained it on these podcasts, I maintain it behind the scenes as well. Many times in wrestling, wins and losses don't matter, except when they matter. Just like every other stake in professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. It matters if you make it matter. And this is a situation we've created where, above all else, wins and losses matter. These two individuals are fighting over wins and losses. This is the most, of all the different stories we're telling, of all the different things we're doing in IZW, this is wrestling as a sport, as what this feud is. What this rivalry, I can't even call it a feud, what this rivalry is.
Rivalry,
wrestling
as
a sport.
Great. Our next match was also a tag team match. However, of a different variety, we had the debut of Jin and Toxic, the team of Chris Nasty and Jin Savani, versus Aguila and Morgan. Again, kind of this difference of established tag team versus more makeshift tag team. Chris Nasty and Jin Savani have been a very established tag team and even part of a trio, Better Off Dead, in the California area for quite some time, and making their IZW debut, at Full Town Clash against a very skilled and talented Aguila, one of the best luchadors in the entire state, and Morgan, and someone that we've said is, you know, the women's ace of Arizona. If you are a women's wrestler in the state of Arizona, you gotta go through Morgan. So that is exactly what we saw in this. And also Morgan herself is very fearless in the ring, whether it's men or women that she's competing against. And that was very adamant and very well seen in this match against Jin and Toxic. Jin and Toxic not so thrilled with the Arizona crowd, but I think ultimately too they knew that they had something to prove with their IZW debut, and they were a very heartfelt match with some frustration as far as, you know, not necessarily keeping their eyes on the prize. The team of Morgan and Aguila won.
And pick, you know, and for Morgan, again, wrestling in Coolidge is a big deal. It's close to her family, in more ways than one. And so that level of motivation is just different, and you just fight different and you push differently. And yeah, for Jin and Toxic, for Chris Nasty and Jin Savani, it was, you know, derailed their plans from the beginning, and they had some different things in mind. They had some things they wanted to do, and now it's like, where do you go from here? And mm-hmm. you know, and what do you do? And so it's very much, it's already, things already not going like they had thought.
Up next, one of the interesting things about Full Town Clash, the first one, is that we had our first boxing sparring exhibition at Full Town Clash 1. And this time we had not one, but two boxing sparring exhibitions in partnership with Robles Boxing, which is, again, a very unique element in this show, that we have elements and actual sparring matches as well as wrestling matches. And this one in particular, the first one of the night, showcased the young women of the Robles Boxing Gym, but one that's very close to the community's heart and, of course, the IZW family's heart, because we had Yasha Suarez facing Keely Islas, the daughter of the Navajo Warrior, and Morgan. And really how a lot of this got started was Keely beginning to train at Robles Boxing. And so having her very first exhibition on the IZW card is truly a family affair. And it was really exciting to see these two young ladies in their exhibition, because they hit hard. And this is really just the beginning for them. But I remember specifically when asking Keely how she wanted to be announced and her moniker, she came up with the Legacy. And that is very fitting for her, knowing her family ties and knowing not just in wrestling, but how now, you know, the Navajo Warrior and Morgan are competing in strongman competitions and wrestling. And so many other things. And so I know that whatever she pursues, she's going to be successful in. And that's more because of the spirit that she has from her family and the drive and the level of competitiveness, and just a outstanding exhibition from these two.
It was. And I love the boxing exhibitions. It's, again, unique to Coolidge, unique to Cool Town Clash, and part of our relationship with Robles. But to be able to have it be, you know, Morgan's daughter, like, that's just such a huge deal. And so to be able to have that and have that be a big part of it, like, that's, you know, again, ties everything in.
Yeah. We have another boxing sparring exhibition we'll talk about a little bit later on. But before we do that, we have to go into the first defense of the IZW Women's World Championship. Brynn Thorne, who won the Women's World Championship at Cycle Circus in her very first title defense against one of the people she faced in the Cycle Circus match, and that's Lilith Brynn. We, in a very similar tone that we talked about Jacob Austin Young and Graves, these two have faced each other to no contest previously, and that's how they both ended up in the Monster Rumble. They've had some aggression towards each other for months. Even we saw some of that teased at Cycle Circus when Brynn Thorne came out to interrupt Lilith as I was interviewing her at Cycle Circus. You could see just really the tension there. I think that the tension between Brynn Thorne and Morgan ended up being the weighing out more, but that there was still always Lilith Brynn on the peripheral. And that came really to a head at Cool Town Clash 2, where Brynn Thorne did face Lilith Brynn. And we had action in and out of the ring that we ended up seeing, you know, them fighting all over the place to the point where the match was thrown out to a no contest once again. And that was just referee Scott Johnson could not manage the chaos that was happening and had to throw the match out. So still your IZW Women's World Champion, Brynn Thorne. But this also still leaves a case for Lilith Brynn to challenge Brynn Thorne again in the future, because Brynn Thorne has not beaten Lilith Brynn. And I think that's exactly what Lilith Grimm's case states, to still, you know, be in this contendership for the Women's World Championship.
It's interesting because, you know, everybody's got that thorn in their side. And for Brynn Thorne, it has become Lilith Brynn. And yeah, they just picked right up where they left off in February and could not be stopped. And there was a chair thrown and Lilith ended up getting her hand busted open. And you know, we don't do blood in IZW. So when you see blood, it's definitely not anything that was quote unquote planned. Like it just happens. It's part of the nature of the business. But, I don't even know, you know, I know, Derek Montilla had in mind that we were going to have the first championship match. It was going to be in Coolidge, great for the community, the fans, all that stuff. And that plan backfired real quick. I don't know what the future holds for those two. I don't know if they need to be kept apart or if they can be kept apart, but, we'll see. We'll find out, because it's definitely going to be a thing.
Well, after that match, Final Destination, the rest of Final Destination came out. Charles Cassis, Evan Daniels, Bryce Saturn. Really stopped the show. They wanted all of the attention on them and put a hard stop on the show to talk with and really get their message across about their upcoming match with the regulators, but really focusing more on Bryce Saturn's opportunity later that night to face Thugnificent for the World Heavyweight Championship, which is really, you know, title wise the biggest match of Bryce's career, so very high expectations out there. This later on brought out the regulators, and that kind of led us into our next match, which was the tag team match of Final Destination, Evan Daniels and Charles Cassis versus DeShade and EJ Sparks of the regulators, being accompanied to the ring by Thugnificent. Now, also before that, after that. So we had the match between these two. Talk about chaos again. When you have so many outside factors, literally between Final Destination and the regulators, it's hard for anyone to kind of keep track of what is happening. And I think that ended up working more to the advantage of Final Destination than it did the regulators. Thugnificent really tried to be the equalizer for the regulators. But ultimately, Final Destination won. And afterwards, Thugnificent put a challenge specifically to Bryce Saturn. Not for the, you know, we knew that they were going to be facing each other, but specifically challenging Bryce to come out alone for the World Championship match, to not have anyone from Final Destination out there with him, and Magnificent was going to come out on his own without the regulators. So Bryce Saturn agreed to it, and we would have a one-on-one, literally no regulators, no Final Destination, just Magnificent and Bryce Saturn one-on-one.
You know, it's Final Destination has really had their way with everybody in IZW since being formed in August of last year, so over a year now, and the lasting image of them being formed is over the regulators and what they did at IZW Grand Prix back in August. But in this case, for them to be, you know, again victorious in Coolidge for the second straight time, they've not lost a match in Coolidge yet, and it's just continuing that. We know that all six men are going to be battling in a cage in November. But it was also the opportunity of a lifetime for Bryce Saturn, which was really created by the ruse pulled by Evan Daniels at Psycho Circus. And Thugnificent, I mean, he has not backed down from anything. He was, you know, attacked at Psycho Circus and down flat on the mat. And his response was to slap Charles Cassis in the face, knowing that it was just going to lead to more punishment. He is fighting fire with fire at this point. He attacked Bryce Saturn at the ICW or at the AWF training center. And, you know, he's not holding back whatsoever. And so for them, just these two groups fighting each other like they are, I mean, this was, you know, it's unpredictable what happens when these six are together, which is why the steel cage match is so necessary. But at this point, I mean, Final Destination is continuing to have the run they want to have, including over the regulators.
Yeah. And it really shows how they are approaching the roads leading to November 12th. You know, Final Destination is not backing down, really taking center stage, making it very clear that they, well, plan to run IZW, and the regulators are really there trying to stop them at every turn. And it makes a lot of sense that this is all leading to a steel cage match, because it just can't be contained in one ring. And I think that match, tag team match in particular, was a perfect example of all the factors that end up in play anytime Final Destination and the regulators are in the same ring. So you know, that's another thing about the beauty of this show in particular. We really did get to see more in depth that rivalry between these two teams and what is it all going to lead to for November 12th.
Yeah, and it was the numbers game in the end, because, yeah, Thugnificent was there to neutralize Bryce Saturn, but that left Bryn Thorne. And that really did just kind of dispel the end for the regulators.
So we are going to be taking a little break before we get into the second half of our show. So, Greg, do me a favor, and let's go ahead and pay some bills.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
We are back with the second half of the show, and we are running through IZW Cool Town Clash 2 that happened this past Saturday, September 24th at the Coolidge Youth Center in Coolidge, Arizona. We just went through the first half of the show, so if you missed it, go ahead, just rewind and go back to the beginning so you could know everything that happened on the first half of Cool Town Clash. But now we are getting to the second half of the show. And first off, we have our second boxing sparring exhibition match. This time we have the young men, Connor Goad versus Junior Gonzalez. And these are standouts of the Robles Boxing Center in Coolidge. This one too, a little bit more entertainment factor. It seemed like they were, you know, playing around a little bit more, but also a bit more aggressive. So again, just to be able to see the talent coming out of the Robles Boxing Gym is really a treat too for the IZW fans in the community, because, you know, these students could go on to really great things and great futures, you know, whatever they do. But I joke that these boxers could end up in, you know, pay-per-view one day. We may see them on ESPN. We may see them, you know, on sports channels, Showtime. And you can say that you, you know, saw them and started when they did their exhibition match at IZW in Coolidge.
Interesting thing about this one, and I don't know what's public and what's not, so I'll keep it as benign as possible, but one of these two is headed towards their pro debut soon. So, so it really is that, you know, you saw them win kind of a situation, but one of these two will be making a professional debut sooner rather than later, in terms of, you know, the coming, say, year. So yeah, it's exciting to see that. And again, what we get to be a part of with these events like that is get to see, you know, see these things on display. And this was another example of it.
That leads us to our next, and I wouldn't even say match. Eventually it leads into a match. But after this exhibition, we had the presentation of the Navajo Warrior Fighting Spirit Award, the very first one ever, presented to Randy Robles from the Robles Boxing Gym, and presented by really, you know, these you know, leaders of IZW, with, of course, the Navajo Warrior, Morgan, and Greg DeMarco himself, there to really share with the audience the story behind the Navajo Warrior Fighting Spirit Award, and really why Randy is so deserving of this award, and how he came into the lives of the Navajo Warrior and Morgan and Keeley, and what he's meant to the community, and what the boxing gym has been meaning to the community, and really just wanting to recognize all of his efforts and work that has really brought people together. Greg, what was it like being involved in, you know, this award, and you know what, you know, can you describe to a bit of Randy's reaction in getting honored this way?
Randy, it's important to know, and if you go find on social media his battles, which started a short time after the first Cool Town Clash event, just hospital stay after hospital stay, and him and his wife Julie have a small child, and they've, you know, it's just been struggle after struggle, and they own and run this boxing gym, and it's the World of Boxing that even brought Randy and Julie together years ago. So it's just been an ongoing struggle. Randy has good days and bad days, good weeks and tough weeks, and this was a difficult week for Randy, to the point where it was possible that he wouldn't be able to be there for this, and you wouldn't know it seeing him there, like the level of energy that was involved, the level of energy that he had, like this, just like the community picked him up, and was just an amazing opportunity for us to see that and to be a part of that, to bring him into the ring. And he, you know, he literally has to bring medical equipment with him in the ring to even be able to do it. Like, it's just ongoing for him, and who knows how and if and when that will end. But the level of energy he had there that night for the boxers, for the wrestlers, for his portion of it is just so uplifting. And as I said at the end, and you know, we know going in who's going to speak and in what order, and there's specific reasons why people speak at different times. And some people were like, yeah, I shouldn't go last because I'll ramble. So Greg, you go last, that kind of thing. Just to see that we all have something, right? And we all have our things, and that something can be big, can be small, can be medical condition that hits you that you're trying to get over. It can be a disease that maybe you'll never get rid of. But how you treat that can help other people in dealing with their things. And Randy is such a source of inspiration for so many others. And so to be able to see him do that and push through that is amazing. A source of inspiration for someone like me, who has, you know, my stuff that I'm fighting. And so to be a part of that, it's to be one of the truly inspired people and to be there to do that, like, it's just an even bigger deal. And then, you know, it wasn't this frail human being having to be helped into a ring. Like, he was at the peak of his, you know, time frame over the last few months on that night. And we got to be a part of it, which is just huge.
Oh, it was, again, IZW is truly a family, and to, again, recognize people who help make that family better and stronger, and to see really Randy's eyes light up and just being there and being honored with this award is, again, why being in this community is so amazing, and to truly be connected with things, you know, it's easy to get caught up in just wrestling, but when you are intersecting and working with other communities, whether that's an actual community, whether it's another gym, you know, other athletes, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so highly, highly deserving to Randy Robles, being the very first recipient of the Navajo Warrior Fighting Spirit Award. And it was a really beautiful moment until Pete the Heat came out once again to interrupt another beautiful, poignant moment. He has a radar, apparently, being accompanied by Nico Maestro, which we saw him team with back at Psycho Circus, and being joined by Chris Nasty of Gin and Toxic to the ring, really just running his silly mouth, upset that he was not placed in a match. He was advertised but not placed in a match, so he really wanted to take this time to make sure and vocalize his displeasure by ruining such a very wonderful moment that had absolutely nothing to do with him, redirecting all the attention to him. Shortly after that, though, the Navajo Warrior was joined by friend Boss Hogg, Marshall Zinn. And it looked like we were about to have a match, Greg. And this was actually something of your doing. You literally, you know, took the pencil in this moment and made the decision to put a match together on the spot.
Yeah, you know, it was one of those situations where, you know, Derek couldn't be there that evening, which is a known thing. And, you know, I happened to be in the ring, and I happened to be the guy in charge of things anyway. And, you know, like you said, hold the pencil. And there we had, you know, the Navajo Warrior and Marshall Zinn, and there we had Pete the Heat, Chris Nasty, and Mico Maestro. And, you know, sometimes it's always good to have something up your sleeve. And if you know things are going to happen, it just so happened that with me I had trusty little note card, and, you know, took advantage of the opportunity to maybe introduce my first match in 12 years, over 12 years. So that was exciting to do. And, also had up my sleeve, you know, a tag team partner for the Navajo Warrior and Marshall Zinn in, you know, Robles' own Isaac Chavez, who made his pro wrestling debut at the first Cool Town Clash, pulling up the upset victory over Gino Rivera. And now he got to come back out and be a part of it. And, you know, I took the opportunity to steal that for myself as well. And that was cool to get to do something I haven't done in 12 years and then brag about it afterwards to the actual ring announcer, who was Miranda Morales. But to get to do that and have fun and create that match and create that moment. And it's so easy to do when you know you've got the ace up your sleeve and Isaac, who's going to come out. And, mm-hmm. And so you're going to get that reaction. The coolest thing about that, that I realized after the fact, was that five of the six people who were in that match had never wrestled the last time I ring announced, had not even made their professional wrestling debuts the last time that I was a ring announcer.
Wow.
So, you know, in the course of 12 years, a lot has changed. And it was funny to hear things backstage. People were like, you know, they'd heard that I was a ring announcer and heard about me as a ring announcer, but never heard
including me. I had never heard you ring announce.
And I think it was probably different this time than it was back then, because my role is a little bit different. And, you know, and I don't, you know, when you're, I wasn't playing the role of a ring announcer, right? So I just had fun and I just did what I did. And so that's why I think it came off however well it came off, but it was just a blast to do it. I don't know if I'll ever get to do it again. I didn't know I was going to get to do it. It was an idea that we came up with earlier that evening. You know, in a wrestling match, one of the hidden secrets about pro wrestling is not the moves, but it's what happens in between all the moves. And in an event, sometimes how you get from one thing to another is equally important as how you do that. And so trying to figure out, okay, how do we get from this moment to the six-man tag team match with Navajo Warrior already being in the ring? How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we get there? How do we get there? How do we get Isaac out there as well? And so I remember being like, well, you know, we don't have a commissioner to make the match. I was like, what if I introduced the match and, you know, got to be a ring announcer again for the first time in 12 years. And we were like, that makes perfect sense. We'll do that. And then it just rolled from there. And thankfully I had, you know, the master of note cards herself, Miranda Morales. You can put that, add that to your list of nicknames, apparently.
Yeah. The master of note cards.
But you know, to help, you know, with the preparation for that. And then it was just go time from there. And it was fun. It was fun to do and fun to be a part of. And then of course, once that was over, that was it. I held the ropes over for Isaac, took my butt out of the ring and let them do their magic. And again, you know, because of the people who were in there, that was another hot moment for the crowd and just a blast to see and be a part of.
I think it was a collection of all these perfect timing and moments and opportunity, because I think that, again, it was one that brought in, you know, all of these different people really of different circumstances into the ring. And in your case, it actually made perfect sense for you to not only do, you know, this matchmaking, because also, you know, there is this knowledge knowing that, yes, there is a commissioner, but you are also the promoter as well. So you have, you know, a little bit of some power in this. And if you decide you wanted to ring announce any match, you could, and nobody would stop you. So, but I think as well, to be able to, you know, really introduce this to, of course, IZW, but the Coolidge community as well. And I think for a lot of us, including myself, had never heard you ring announce live. So to be able to hear that and be like, oh, yeah, no, he's pretty good at that. You know, he has a future. And that's literally the first thing I told, you know, you when you got back to the area, is you got a bright future ahead of you, kid. You know, and if you wanted to go back into that world, you could easily go in and announce anywhere that you want.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a blast. And I love being able to do it. And again, what those things, you know, Morgan, Michelle, as we all like to call her behind the scenes, that's no secret to everybody. She likes to use the word magic, and it is crazy how these things just come together. And that is part of the magic that is IZW. I don't like to force things. I really don't like to force things. And I think as a booker and a promoter and in an NDR level, a lot of times you wear that same hat of both of being a booker and a promoter. It's easy to try to force stuff. And one of the things that I think I do best is to see where it is, like to let it happen. And you come up with a general framework and then you see how the things are going to flow and you kind of let what falls into place fall into place. And so you don't force, you don't say, you know, I've got this one moment I've got to make happen, and you force it in there. You look at the flow and you realize, oh, there's this moment right here. What is it? And now I'm getting like all artsy fartsy and, you know, like I don't usually do, but it's like, what's this moment right here? And then you figure out what that moment is. Sometimes you scrap it because it's not really going to work. And other times it does. And sometimes it doesn't work at all. And it falls flat, and that's going to happen in this business too. But sometimes it's like, oh, this fits perfect. And then it executes and you're like, wow, that went better than expected. Or that was great. And that was exactly what I thought it was going to be. And that was just one of those things. And you just got to let them happen and not force them. Cause when it's forced, I think most people will figure that out pretty easily. And you gotta be smart enough to not force it. And you know, like Monster, we've talked about before, like Monster made sense for the time. I didn't want it to be a yearly event. We've had three of them. Like it's just what happens. And that's kind of the same thing here. And it was just, you know, there it was. It made sense. It was right there. We recognized it and ran with it and let the magic happen. But at the same time, then the bell rang. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, a key phrase in the world of professional wrestling. You hear a lot of times, then the bell had to ring. And it just grew from there. It was a great match. And Isaac continues to improve on what he can do in the ring. The same with Marshall. And so for Isaac and Marshall being there with the Navajo Warrior, who's got more experience than everybody else in the match combined, it's, you know, it shows. And he's able to be that ring general. And for a guy like
Nico, I think Nav's experience is older than Isaac as a person. And several people in that match.
I think it's older
it's older than
Miko as well. But yeah, it just showed. And for that match to go off the way it is, you know, all credit to him for what happened there, but also to all of them. Miko has just shown so much personality and he can work. Pete is Pete and one of the things that's very important to me is to use Pete in ways that A, he enjoys, which he loves, and B, works within everything else. And Pete he gets it and it just really does show in that way. And Chris Nasty, his second match of the night, as that was supposed to be Mercury Yaden, who was unable to come out due to a family commitment. He really shined through big time for me. Chris Nasty is someone who had been wanting to come into IZW when we were looking for the right places to do it. And this event, and they'll be, you know, with us moving forward, was the perfect place to do it. And you have an expectation of what you know of somebody and what they're going to be able to do when it's good. And you expect good things. And then when they show up, what they deliver exceeds that expectation. And that's what Chris Nasty did on this night. And I was so impressed, some of the major points I wanted to hit. His performance this evening was one of them. And it turns into hey, this would be cool to have, or yeah, we would definitely like to give you to come out. And by the end of the night, it's more of a, this is a guy we're actually lucky to have. And we're very excited about, you know, having him in the future and what he can do and be as that veteran presence and what he can do in the ring. So I'm excited about what he also has to offer moving forward and where they're at. Interestingly enough, if you look and read between the lines, so Chris Nasty and Jin Savani, Jin and Toxic, losing to the Navajo Warrior's wife, then losing to the Navajo Warrior. I saw some stuff backstage that I know will be released in the coming weeks. They are not happy about that. And they were not pleased at all when they were leaving. And I just don't really know what all that means. And they seem very motivated in a lot of different ways. And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in November.
I mean, the happy ending of the story is the team of the Navajo Warrior marshals in and Isaac Chavez getting the win. And again, I mean, you know, I think just the experience of the Navajo Warrior, the strength of Marshall Zinn, my God, guy's incredibly strong. And really, I mean, charisma can take you so far, but taking Isaac Chavez pretty dang far already. But still a very strong, striking, arm. All those factors came in to get the win, on this 6-man tag. It'll be very interesting to see, what, as Greg had alluded to, what may be next for Chris Nasty and Jin Savani. Of course, Pete the Heat and Miko Maestro, apparently. We will continue to see what, you know, segment, beautiful moment, interview they interrupt. We'll just continue to wait and see all of that. That leads us to our main event for the IZW World Heavyweight Championship. Thugnificent, your reigning and defending champion faced Final Destination's own Bryce Saturn. Now, as we talked about earlier, Thugnificent laid out the challenge for Bryce Saturn to come out alone, which he did. Somewhat of a surprise, but Bryce was a man of his word in this case and came out alone. Thugnificent came out alone, but very shortly after, even before the bell rang, Bryce Saturn took advantage, really, of having some moments before the bell rang to utilize the IZW World Heavyweight Championship title as a weapon, which again, the bell didn't ring, so was fair game. I think that's, again, Bryce being the youngest member of Final Destination is also kind of the most educated, because he's taken bits and pieces that he's learned from Charles, from Evan, from Bryn, and utilize that. And really, like we said, the biggest title match of his career, you know, to go up against Magnificent, who's been, you know, the reigning IZW champion now for hundreds of days, the longest reigning, one of the longest reigning, or the longest reigning. Longest reigning. One of the longest reigning IZW champions. And I have to admit, I mean, I recall back to Thugnificent's match against Evan Daniels at Cycle Circus being really one of my favorite matches of IZW of the entire year. And I feel now that may be replaced by Thugnificent and Bryce Saturn. Just an amazing in-ring presence of both guys. I mean, Thugnificent, again, has been the fighting champion, but Bryce Saturn really gave 120%. And something I noticed, too, is that he really utilized a lot of speed in between moves, because he knew he had to capitalize on every single second he had the advantage. Which was someone who's, again, very smart for someone who hasn't been in wrestling for very long. And I think it's, a sign of what he has learned from his trainers, from his other members of Final Destination. And Thugnificent took Bryce Saturn seriously from the very first moment. He was focused. He was really present. He was very aggressive. But I think there was also moments where Bryce surprised him with his skill set and moves. So that thing, I think that that was probably more of the unpredictable factor. Outside of eventually Final Destination coming out, getting involved towards the end of the match, again, you know, the agreement was for Bryce to come out alone, but it wasn't for him to stay alone. So Final Destination came out, caused the distraction. However, the regulators, EJ Sparks and DeShade, were not far behind. And this time, the numbers game worked in favor of the regulators. They were able to keep Charles and Evan Daniels away from the ring long enough for Thugnificent to hit that brainbuster and pin Bryce Saturn for the win and become still your IZW World Heavyweight Champ.
582 days is how long Thugnificent has held the IZW World Heavyweight Championship.
I knew he was coming up to six, or was around, like, I knew six was in the round. I just didn't know if he had hit it yet or was close to it.
He has held, the longest individual reign was 284 days, which he has surpassed. And the longest combined days was by the Hawaiian Lion, who he defeated in February and sent on a road to retirement at 540 days. So he now has both of he has the longest reign and the longest combined reigns of anybody is Thugnificent. But yeah, you know, it's the last three matches that he's had against EJ Sparks in the Iron Man match, against Evan Daniels at Psycho Circus, and now here, do rank up there as some of the matches he's put on. And you're right, like this time, you know, regulators coming out not to try to interfere in the match, but to prevent the interference. Different motivation, played out a very different way, allowed Thugnificent to cleanly pick up the victory. They didn't help him win, they allowed him to keep it one on one so he could win. This match for me was, you know, I'm always running around at these events and it's hard for me to see a whole lot of things that are going on. And I was able to watch pretty much this entire match. And to be able to sit back behind the production area and watch this match, this is, there's two folds to this. And I've had both of these conversations, on that night, and they were very heartfelt moments for these individuals. Bryce Saturn is 20 years old, newly 20 years old. It wasn't that long ago that he turned 20, within the last like month or so. And he is performing at such a level that no other 20-year-old that I've seen is. And of all the crop of new wrestlers out there, he is at or near the top in the ring. And he, I think he's at the top in terms of talking and cutting a promo. And if maybe there's a trainee or two who are better than him in the ring, he surpasses them on the microphone. And, but the storytelling aspect of it in the ring is something that it's really hard to teach. And it's just something that has to be learned with experience. And the level of stories he's able to tell during a wrestling match at this age and this level of experience is huge. To be in the main event, not in, you know, not in Tempe, not in Phoenix, but to go out to Coolidge, be in the main event, to hold the crowd the way they did and to perform the way they did. That was, a performance that you don't expect from a 20-year-old. And yeah. I know he's so thankful for the opportunities he's given. And you've heard this phrase before, whenever anybody's thankful for an opportunity, and you've said it. And I always say the same thing too. Like, these are not given opportunities. These are earned opportunities. Yes, I may have been the one to put it in place, but I put it in place for a person who deserves it. And you didn't get it because I gave it to you. I gave it to you because you earned it and you deserved it. And that's the way it was with Bryce Saturn. And he continues to do more and more and more. And he's going to be a big part of things moving forward. And he just showed that on that evening. And just such a huge moment. I know how proud those who train him and Charles Cassius and the others are. And I don't know what his original trainer knows about what he's doing now and, you know, gets to see or whatever, but he should be proud of what Bryce Saturn is doing. On the flip side, you have Thugnificent, who is the longest reigning IZW champion in history, both combined and individual. And, you know, when I think back to February 20th, 2021, when he won that championship, he was a tag team wrestler. He was a member of a tag team who was put together to turn heel, to turn the other guy heel, and quickly realized, no, that's not going to happen. They're just too over as baby faces and keep them as baby faces. When he won the IZW heavyweight championship, he had not yet won a match in IZW. Bad booking on my part, right? But he has just since flourished and grown and flown, and championship belts, you hear this all the time, especially, and you hear it from people like the Bruce Pritchards of the world. It is a prop. It is metal and leather, and it is a prop that's built just like a gimmick table or a chair that's supposed to give out a certain way or whatever it is. It is a gimmick prop that is built and modified for professional wrestling use. The meaning is given in the use. The meaning is given in what's done with it. And he has made that championship the most important championship in the state of Arizona, the most prestigious championship in the state of Arizona. And it's going to take a really long time for anybody or anything to surpass that. And he takes a lot of pride in that. And we didn't give it to him with the intention of breaking all these records, but we also didn't give it to him with, you know, you're going to hold it and lose it in this amount of time. We gave it to him and we're going to see how this goes and we're going to run with it as long as we can. And here we are. And he has grown tremendously as an individual, as a performer. And to talk to him about that and how proud I am of him and how what he meaning he has given to that physical championship that he's had in his possession for 582 days now. I know what it means to him and I know how touched he is by all those opportunities. And I know what life is like for a professional wrestler like him when they're not wrestling. And they want to be wrestling and then to go out there and to make the trip out to Coolidge and to do this. It means all the world to him. And just to see what he's done, to see who he's become. It's just absolutely amazing. And, again, when we first got into this, when I first said, hey, I got this idea, we're going to do this IZW thing again. And when I first told you that and others, no idea that we'd be talking about a city like Coolidge, that we'd be talking about the development of an individual like, you know, Thugnificent. I didn't even know that a Bryce Saturn was a thing when we first started doing that. Like, oh, I don't even know if it was a thing yet. All of those things that came into place. It's just part of the magic of it all. And it's mind blowing sometimes when you step back and think about all the stuff that it's created. And Thugnificent is to me, And he deserves all the credit in the world for it and the things that he's done in other places. And, you know, he recently revealed that he was the Party Ranger in Party Hard Wrestling, which is a beloved character, there and a champion in Party Hard Wrestling as well. To me, him carrying this championship at this level for so long, I view it as a success story in IZW, and I know he does too. And that's all the credit in the world to him and the work that he's put into it, and the regulators working together and everybody working behind the scenes. It's a thing for him. It's a thing for all of us. And I couldn't be more proud of both of them, what they accomplished that night, and everything that's led up to that night and time as well. Cause it's not just something that happened in a day, and something that has built up over the course of years, some more than others for one of them, but all led to that moment that day. So super proud moment for me as the guy behind it all.
Yeah. I think it's still another moment that gets us to Wanted Dead or Alive on November 12th, but it's also a moment in history for both Thugnificent and Bryce Saturn, as they are in, you know, two somewhat parallel lanes, you know, two different trajectories, with, you know, Thugnificent and really his establishment as, again, you know, now the single longest reigning, combined reigning IZW World Heavyweight Champion, and Bryce Saturn, who's really on the cusp of big things. And this, I'm sure, will not be his first big, you know, world championship match in this promotion or any promotion. He will have more. And just to see that happen for him, at Coolidge is such a, you know, it's just a moment that you'll remember in a fantastic match. But again, you know, what a way to end Cool Town Clash 2, with truly still seeing, you know, what that tension has between Final Destination and the regulators. So that does it for our review of IZW Cool Town Clash. Again, we've been talking about it. Don't forget, Saturday, November 12th at the Horny Toad in Glendale. IZW presents Wanted, Dead or Alive. Tickets are available at IZWWrestling.com. You can follow IZW at IZW Wrestling AZ on all forms of social media. That way you get up-to-date information on match announcements, talent announcements, and of course, tickets, as well as ticket deals. IZW does a great job of doing promotions and sales. And the only way you're going to know about that is if you follow IZW on social media.
And there's one right now, as a matter of fact, that goes through this Friday. It just got released today at 3:00. Today, as we're recording this, Tuesday, September 27th, 2022, is the birthday of the current reigning IZW World Heavyweight Champion.
Happy birthday, champ.
And so in honor of Thugnificent's birthday, we do have the Thugnificent birthday sale. You can get $8 off of VIP tickets, the ones that remain, for Wanted Dead or Alive right now. If you head on over using that promo code THUG, we'll get you that, or the link in the social media post that's on our social media right now. In celebration of the champ's birthday and his monumental reign, we do have just the opportunity to celebrate Thugnificent by offering something great to our fans once again. So you want to save some money on front row VIP at Wanted Dead or Alive. Now is the time to do it. Between now and the end of the day on Friday, it will be your opportunity to save some bucks and be there as part of it. VIP, by the way, of course, you get the front row seat. You get the bonus matches as revealed in that as well. Much like they did at Psycho Circus, the regulators, EJ Sparks and Thugnificent, will once again be in tag team action, and they will do so on the VIP portion. Their match will be announced here in the coming week, what match they will have for the VIP portion, but they will be in action at Wanted Dead or Alive on the VIP, and the only way to see that is to purchase one of those front row VIP tickets, so get yours while you can. And right now, in honor of his birthday, you can save some money and do the same thing.
Again, at IZW Wrestling AZ on all forms of social media and IZWWrestling.com. Don't forget to pick up your IZW t-shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. If you are unable to attend Wanted Dead or Alive, you can always buy a t-shirt to rep IZW no matter where you are at. And make sure in general, go support your local independent wrestling promotions by following them on social media, buying their merch, buying merch of wrestlers who are part of those promotions, sharing it with a friend, buying a ticket for you and a friend. All those things you can do with IZW if you don't know already. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find me, Miranda Morales, at the hashtag Miranda on Instagram and Facebook. You can find Greg at Chairshot Greg on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And the Chairshot at Chairshot Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Once again, don't forget to listen to this show and others from the Chairshot Radio Network on your favorite podcast streaming platform like iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and more. Subscribe, rate, and review. And of course, you can listen to this show and much, much more at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
That does it for us this week. We did it.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
We the ones. We did it. The ones. Yep.
Even Sammy.
Ones. Yes, even Sammy. Even he's the one now. Make sure you stay tuned.
The honorary one.
Honorary oof. Such a good story. That's a whole other conversation for a whole other day. Well, you know, we're going to be talking about it on the show very, very soon. So make sure.
Good shit.
You stay tuned. We will be back with you for another episode next week. So, as always, Greg DeMarco, I'm Miranda Morales. And don't forget to always keep it all style.
Listen!
Games! Of war games! War games! War games!
Shut your dumb mouth.
Acknowledge me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.